I'm Manda.
And I'm Pamela.
And we are the host of the quickly growing Fairy Fails podcast, a podcast for relationships of all kinds, romantic, platonic, and more.
Every Monday, we will be posting new content for you to enjoy so that you'll always know when and where to find us.
If you'd like to send in your suggestions, you can do so at fairyfailspod.com, where you'll find all of our social media platforms, information about your hosts, and much more.
Please join us Mondays for a fun-filled conversation. And as always, you can be part of the conversation by getting on our Discord, YouTube, Instagram, or any of our other social medias.
Don't forget to follow and hit that notification bell to be reminded every time we upload.
We'll see you there.
Hello all, Saf Big here. As you listen to my podcast, I would hope that you would make a donation, if possible, to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund, or the PCRF, ENERA, the American Near East Refuge Aid, or Medical Aid for Palestinians. In these trying times, it is necessary for everyone to do what they can. Even if it's a little bit, it helps. Thank you. Welcome in the Great Khan's tent. History, literature, and storytelling. Are you interested in getting the book you just published reviewed? Writing some piece of literature and need help getting it out there and promoted? Interested in sharing what piece of literature we should cover next? Well, fret not. In the Great Khan's Tent is now available on Patreon, where your contribution can help in growing this podcast. For as low as $3 a month, a price less than a good, and I mean good, cup of coffee, you can help contribute to the growth of this podcast. Every bit helps, but as always, it is not necessary to do so, but will be appreciated. Find the Patreon link on our website, on our social media accounts, or email us and we can send it to you. Thank you. If you have any suggestions, comments, or complaints, please be sure to email us at allowercaseinthegreatkhanstent@gmail.com. That is inthegreatkhanstent@gmail.com. We would love to hear from our listeners. Welcome to In the Great Khan's Tent presents Ramadan, or Ramzan if you prefer, special episode part 2. In our final episode for this holy month of Ramadan, we delve into two tales of lesser-known prophets and uniquely Arab. Saleh alayhi salam, who was sent to the people of Thamud, located in what we know as present-day Saudi Arabia, and Shu'aib alayhi salam, who was uniquely sent to two groups of people, the people of Medan and the people of the Thicket, both of whom are also located in the present-day region of Saudi Arabia. The tale of Saleh alayhi salam is an interesting one and delves into the problems of asking a prophet for a sign of his prophethood. In Saleh alayhi salam's case, he had given the people of Thamud a she-camel, which provided them with endless milk, but their hatred and jealousy against him caused them to strike out against the camel and invite their own destruction. One interesting note here is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does interact with the legacy of Saleh alayhi salam and the remains left after Allah destroyed them. He warns his companions as they travel through this region to not drink the water or even enter the town. Furthermore, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warns of people asking for signs of prophethood, since it is tantamount that people are really asking for the destruction of themselves and their people. The tale of Shu'aib alayhi salam is unique from the tale of Hud alayhi salam and that of Saleh alayhi salam, in that while Shu'aib alayhi salam did ask people to come to righteousness, he also especially targeted the people of Medan and the people of the Thicket to stop exploiting people through devious means, particularly through modified and erroneous use of weights and measures, as well as to stop them from highway robbery. In the next episode, we will continue our retelling of the 1001 Nights with the continuation of the story of Ghanim, the son of Ayyub, the distracted slave of love. Saleh alayhi salam, the tale of Saleh. A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan nir-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. And to the tribe of Thamud we sent their brother Saleh. He said, O my people, serve Allah. Ye have no other God save Him. A wonder from your Lord hath come unto you. Lo, this is the camel of Allah, a token unto you. So let her feed in Allah's earth, and touch her not with hurt, lest painful torment seize you. And remember how he made you viceroys after Ad, and gave you station in the earth. Ye chose castles in the plains, and hew the mountains into dwellings. So remember all the bounties of Allah, and do not evil, making mischief in the earth. The chieftains of his people who were scornful said unto those whom they despised, unto such of them as believed, Know ye that Saleh is one sent from his Lord? They said, Lo, in that wherewith he hath been sent, we are believers. Those who were scornful said, Lo, in that which ye believe, we are disbelievers. So they hamstrung the she-camel, and they flouted the commandment of their Lord. And they said, O Saleh, bring upon us that thou threatenest, if thou art indeed of those sent from Allah. So the earthquake seized them, and mourning found them prostrate in their dwelling place. And Saleh turned from them and said, O my people, I delivered my Lord's message unto you, and gave you good advice, but ye love not good advisers. Quran, chapter 7, verse 73-79. And unto the tribe of Thamud we sent their brother Saleh. He said, O my people, serve Allah. Ye have no other God save Him. He brought you forth from the earth, and hath made you husband it. So ask forgiveness of Him, and turn unto Him repentant. Lo, my Lord is nigh responsive. They said, O Saleh, thou hast been among us hitherto as that wherein our hope was placed. Dost thou ask us not to worship what our fathers worshipped? Lo, we verily are in grave doubt concerning that to which thou callest us. He said, O my people, bethink you, if I am acting on clear proof from my Lord, and here hath come unto me a mercy from Him, who will save me from Allah if I disobey Him? Ye would add to me not save perdition. O my people, this is the camel of Allah, a token unto you, so suffer her to feed in Allah's earth, and touch her not with harm, lest a near torment seize you. But they hamstrung her, and then he said, Enjoy life in your dwelling places 3 days. This is a threat that will not be belied. So when our commandment came to pass, we saved Saleh and those who believed with him by a mercy from us, from that ignominy of that day. Lo, thy Lord, he is strong, the mighty. And the awful cry overtook those who did wrong, so that mourning found them prostrate in their dwellings, as though they had not dwelt there. Lo, Thamud disbelieved in their Lord, a far removal for Thamud. Quran, chapters 11, verse 61-68. And, O my people, let not the schism with me cause you to sin, so that there befall you that which befell the folk of Noah, and the folk of Hud, and the folk of Saleh, and the folk of Lot are not far off from you. Quran chapter 11 verse 89. Allah has said, and to Thamud we sent their brother Saleh. Quran chapter 7 verse 73. He was Thamud ibn Amir ibn Iram, son of Shem, son of Noah, and he was a brother of Jadis, but Allah meant the tribe of Thamud here. Abu Amr al-Ala said, it is called Thamud because of its scarcity of water, Thamud being a source that dries up in the winter. The dwelling places of Thamud were in Al-Hijr, between the Hijaz and Syria. According to what Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Yasir, Al-Sudi, Al-Kalabi, Wahab ibn Munabbi, Qab, and other writers, all of whose reports overlap, said that after Allah destroyed the tribe of ancient Ad and finished their affair, the Thamud began to flourish and were appointed their successors in the land and settled there. They multiplied and prospered, and one of them began to build a house of stone and clay, but it collapsed while he remained alive. When they saw this, they used stones from the mountains for making houses. They smoothed them, bored holes in them, hollowed them out, and were living in comfort as Allah has said. And remember when he appointed you successors after Ad and lodged you in the lands, taking to yourselves castles of its plains and having its mountains into houses. So remember the bounties of Allah and do not do mischief on the earth. Quran chapter 7 verse 74. But they violated Allah's commandments and served others beside him, acting corruptly on the earth. So Allah sent to them Saleh alayhi salam as a prophet. He was Saleh, son of Ubaid ibn Asif ibn Masi ibn Hadhir, son of Thamud. All of these were Arab peoples. Saleh alayhi salam was of mediocre genealogy among them, but of highest esteem. Allah sent him to them as a messenger, and when he called them to Allah and his worship, but only a few followed him. When Saleh alayhi salam urged them with his pleas and messages and constantly alerted them and warned them, they asked him to show them a miracle which would confirm what he was saying. He said, O Allah, show them a miracle so that they may be taught a lesson. Then he said to them, what miracle do you want? They replied, come with us to our festival. They had a festival at which they would go forth with their idols on a certain day of the year and pray to Allah, and we will pray to our gods. If your prayer is answered, we will follow you, but if ours is answered, you will follow us. And Saleh said, yes. So they took their idols out to that festival of theirs, and Saleh alayhi salam went forth with them. They prayed to their idols and asked them that Saleh alayhi salam not be granted anything for which he prayed. Then said Jundu ibn Amir ibn Jawas, who was at the time the chief of the Thamud, Saleh, bring forth for us from this rock, meaning the rock that stood apart from the mountain in the vicinity of Al-Hijr, called Al-Katiba, a she-camel of the kind known as Al-Muhtarija, big-bellied, covered with hair, and in the 10th month of gestation. A Mujtarija is similar to the Bactrian camel. If you do that, we will believe you and follow your creed. Saleh alayhi salam took their pledge that if he did that, they would believe him and follow him. Then Saleh alayhi salam prayed and called to Allah, and the rock began to labor as if it were at the point of delivering her offspring. Then the mountain shook and cracked to reveal a camel in her 10th month, big-bellied, hairy as they had asked him. Only Allah knew how large was what she carried inside. All the while they were watching, and she brought forth a young one like her in size. Thereupon Jundu ibn Amir and a group of his people expressed their belief in him and wanted the nobles of Thamud also to believe in Saleh alayhi salam and follow his creed. But Duab ibn Amir ibn Labid and Al-Khubab, the two guardians of their idols, and Riyab ibn Samar, who were among the nobles of the Thamud, forbade it. Jundu ibn Amir had a cousin called Shihab ibn Khalifa, who wanted to accept Islam, but this group of people forbade him, and he obeyed them. A man of Thamud said, "A group of the family of Amir called Shihab to the faith of the Prophet. The noblemen of Thamud, all of them, thought that he would consent. Had he consented, Saleh would have become mighty among us, and they would not have thought of their companion Duab in the same level as Saleh. But the misguided of the people of Hijr, after being on the right path, followed one another into evil. When the camel came forth, Saleh alayhi salam said, 'Here is the she-camel. She shall have her share of water as you have yours, each on an appointed day.'" Quran, chapter 26, verse 155. The camel remained with her young one in the land of Thamud, grazing on the trees and drinking water. She would come to the water one day and they on another day. When her day came, she would put her head in a well in the land of Al-Hijr, called the Well of the She-Camel, and the water would rise up for her. She would lift her head only when she had drunk everything in it and had not left a drop. She would crouch down, then return to them. They would milk her as much as they wanted, and drink, and store some, and fill their vessels. But she would come out through a different passageway than the one through which she had entered, for she was unable to go forth from whence she had entered, because it was now too narrow for her. Abu Musa al-Ashri went to the land of Thamud and measured the passageway where the camel would have come out, and found it to be 60 cubits wide. On the morning of their day, they would drink of the water which Allah had brought out of the well for them, and they would store as much as they wanted, an amount sufficient for them on the camel's day. For that reason, they would live in prosperity and calm. When it was hot in the summer, the camel would climb to the upper part of the wadi, and the sheep, cows, and camels would flee from her. Then she would go down to the bottom of the wadi with its intense heat. The livestock would run away from her when they saw her. In winter, the camel would go first to the bottom of the wadi, so their cattle would flee to the top of the wadi with its bitter cold, which harmed their cattle to the point of decrepitude and to be weeded out, for their grazing places were in the mountains. This became intolerable to them, so they endeavored to hamstring the camel and plotted ways to do so. There was a woman of Thamud called Unaziah, daughter of Ghanam ibn Mukhallid, nicknamed Ghanam, and she was of the Banu Ubaid ibn al-Mahil, and the wife of Duab ibn Amir. She was an old woman with beautiful daughters and much wealth in camel, cows, and sheep. There was another woman named Saduk bint al-Muhayya ibn Mihir. She was wealthy and beautiful, with much livestock. These two women were among the strongest enemies of Saleh alayhi salam, and they were plotting to hamstring the camel because of their rejection of Saleh alayhi salam, and because of her harming their livestock. Saduk was with a maternal cousin of hers named Sanim ibn Harawah bin Saad bin al-Ghatrif ibn Hilal, who had accepted Islam in a proper conversion. Saduk had entrusted her wealth to him, but he had dispersed it to those among Saleh's companions who had accepted Islam together with him, until the wealth had run out. Suduk was informed of his conversion and reproved him for that, but he expounded his religion to her and called her to Allah. But she rejected him and took her children, hiding them among the children of her paternal cousins who held the same views. Her husband asked her to return his children to him, and when he persevered, she responded, "Not until I bring you to trial before my paternal cousins." This she said because the paternal cousins of her husband were Muslims, and therefore she refused to bring him to trial before them. But her paternal cousins said to her, "By Allah, you give him his children willingly or not." When she saw that, she gave him his children. Then Saduk and Unaza plotted to hamstring the camel in accordance with the suffering that was preordained for the two of them. Saduk called upon a man of Thamud named Al-Khubab and commanded him to hamstring the camel, offering herself to him if he would do that. But he rejected her. So she called upon a paternal cousin of hers called Musta ibn Mahraj and offered herself to him if he would hamstring the camel. She was one of the most beautiful, wealthy, and mature of the people, and he agreed to this. Unaza called upon Qadar ibn Salif of the people of Qadda, whose mother's name was Qadira. He was fair-haired, blue-eyed, and short-statured, and people claimed that he was born out of wedlock to a man named Safwan and not to Salif, though he was born in the latter's bed. She said to him, "Qadar, I will give you whichever of my daughters you desire if you will hamstring the camel." Qadar was respected among his people, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned him when he was sent. "When the most villainous then will be delegated a nobleman among his people like Abu Zamah." Qadar and Musta went off and sought the help of certain people of Thamud. 7 persons followed them, and they were 9 altogether, as Allah said. Now they were in the city 9 persons who did corruption in the land and did not put things right. Quran chapter 27 verse 48. And Hidayat ibn Mahbulg, the maternal uncle of Qadar, who was distinguished among the people of Al-Hijar, joined them, as well as Duar ibn Ghanam ibn Daria, the brother of Musta, and 5 others whose names were not mentioned, and they agreed to hamstring the camel. Al-Sudi and others said that Allah inspired Saleh alayhi salam, saying, "Your people will hawk the camel," and he told this to them, but they said, "We will never do that." And he said to them, "During this month a lad will be born who will hamstring her, and you and your destruction will be at his hands." They said, "Then we will surely slay every boy born this month." During that month 9 sons were born to 9 of them, and they slew them. But then a son was born to a 10th man, and he refused to slay him because he was his firstborn. Not one child had been born to him previously. The son of the 10th man had blue eyes and fair skin, and he grew quickly. When this man passed by the 9 and they saw him, they regretted having killed their children and said, "If our sons were alive, they would be like this one." So the 9 became angry with Saleh alayhi salam because he was the reason for their having killed their sons, and they swore to each other an oath by Allah, "We will attack him and his people at night." They said, "Let us go out and make the people think that we have left on a journey, then let us go to the cave and hide in it until when the night falls and Saleh goes to his mosque, we will ambush him and kill him. Then we will return to the cave and hide in it, then go back to our camels and continue on our journey and say, we were not witnesses of the destruction of his family, and assuredly we are truthful men." Quran chapter 27 verse 49. They will believe us and think that we had gone on a journey. Saleh used not to sleep at night in the town with them, but sought out the mosque called the Mosque of Saleh to spend the night there. When morning came, he would come to them, exhort them, and speak to them, and in the evenings he would return to the mosque and spend the night there. When they entered the cave, thinking that they would ambush him that night and kill him, a boulder from the cave fell upon them and killed them. Some men who learnt of the event rushed to the cave, and lo, they were smashed. They returned, crying out in the town, "Servants of Allah, it was not enough for Saleh that he commanded them to kill their children, so he killed them too." Then the people of the village gathered to hamstring the camel. Ibn Ishaq said that the oath sworn by the nine to attack Saleh alayhi salam at night came after they had hamstrung the camel, and Saleh alayhi salam had announced to them that they would be punished. It was as follows. The nine who hamstrung the camel said, "Come, let us kill Saleh. If he speaks the truth that we will be punished, we will speed up slaying him, and if he is lying, we will unite him with his camel." At night they came to attack him and his people, but the angels cast stones at them, and when they kept their companions waiting, the latter came to Saleh's dwelling and found them crushed, smashed with stones. They said to Saleh, "You have killed him," and they intended to kill him, but his kinfolk shielded him, took weapons, and said to them, "You will never kill him, for he has warned you that punishment will descend upon you in 3 nights. If he told the truth, you will only increase your Lord's anger at you. If he lied, then you have beyond what you desire." So they went away from them that very night. Al-Sudi and others said that when the son of the 10th man was born, that is to say, Qadar, he matured each day as much as anyone else did in a week, and in a week as much as anyone else in a month, and in a month as much as anyone else in a year. When he grew up, he sat with people having strong drink, and they wanted some water to mix with their drink. That was the day of that camel's turn to drink. And they found that the camel had drunk all of the water. They found that unreasonable and said, "What can we do with the milk if we use the water which this camel drinks to water our herds and our fields? It would be better for us." When the son of the 10th man said, "Do you want me to hamstring her?" they agreed. Kaab said that they hamstrung the camel because of a woman called Malika, who had ruled over Thamud. When the people turned to Saleh alayhi salam, and he assumed the leadership, she envied him and spoke to a woman called Qatam, who was the beloved of Qadar ibn Salif, and to another woman called Kubal, who was the beloved of Musta ibn Mahraj. Qadar and Musta would meet them every night to drink wine. Malika said to the two women, "When Qadar and Musta come to you tonight, do not let them sleep with you, but say to them, 'The queen is aggravated because of Saleh and his camels, and we will not submit to you until you hamstring the camel. But if you hamstring her, we will submit to you.'" When the two men came, they spoke these words to them, and they replied, "We will hamstring her." Ibn Ishaq and others have said that Qadar, Musta, and their 7 companions went out and laid in wait for the camel until she would come away from the water. Qadar had hidden himself from her in the trunk of a tree that lay in her path, while Musta had hidden himself in another tree trunk. The camel passed by Musta, who shot an arrow at her, with which he penetrated her leg muscles. Ghanam Unazia went out and ordered her daughter, who was a most beautiful woman, to show herself to Qadar and uncover her face for him, which she did, and she also incited him to hamstring the camel. He attacked the camel with his sword and laid bare her hamstring. He felled her and slit her throat, thus killing her. The people of the village went out, divided her up, and ate her flesh. When he had hamstrung her, she foamed at the mouth, and when her foal saw all this, he rushed away to an inaccessible mountain called Daw. Some call it Karra. The following is transmitted on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the narrative of Shahar ibn Hawshab from Umar ibn Khadija. Saleh alayhi salam was told, "Look at your camel, it has been hamstrung." Saleh alayhi salam approached and they went out to meet him and they apologized to him, saying, "O Prophet of Allah, so and so hamstrung her. We are without fault." Saleh said to them, "See whether you can get a hold of her young one, for if you get hold of it, perhaps your punishment will be removed from you." So they went forth in search of it, and when they saw it on the top of the mountain, they went to seize it, but Allah inspired the mountain, and it raised itself up to heaven until not even the birds could reach it. Then Saleh alayhi salam came, and when the young camel saw him, it wept so that tears flowed. Then it foamed three times, and the rock split, and it entered it. Then Saleh alayhi salam said, "Every nation has its term. Take your joy in your habitation for 3 days." Quran chapter 11, verse 65. "Then the punishment will come to you. That is not a false threat." Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Yasar said that 4 of the 9 persons who had hamstrung the camel followed her young one, among them Musta and his brother Duab, the son of Maharaj. Musta shot an arrow at it and it penetrated its heart, and he pulled its leg and took it down, throwing its meat together with its mother's meat. Saleh alayhi salam said to them, "You have desecrated something sacrosanct to Allah, so rejoice in Allah's punishment and his vengeance." But they responded, mocking him, "And when will that be, Saleh? And what will be the sign of that?" They used to give the day's names. Sunday was Al-Awwal, Monday was Ahwan, Tuesday was Dibar, Wednesday was Jabbar, Thursday was Munnis, Friday was Al-Arubah, and Saturday was Shibar. Then the poet said about this, "I hope that I shall live, but that the day of my death might be on Awwal or Ihwan or Jabbar or the destroyer Dibar. But even if I elude it, there still is Munnis or Arubah or Shibar." It is related that the camel was hamstrung on a Wednesday, and Saleh alayhi salam was asked about the time of the punishment and its signs. He said, "Verily, you will awaken early on Munnis, and your faces will be yellow. You will awaken on Aruba with your faces red, and on Shibar with your faces black. Then the punishment will come to you on Awwal." Indeed, young and old, male and female, awoke on Thursday, and their faces were yellow, as though they had been painted with saffron. Now they were convinced of Saleh's alayhi salam's words, and they knew he had told them the truth, so they sought to kill him. Saleh alayhi salam fled from them and reached a clan of Thamud called Banu Ghanam. He stayed with their leader, a man from among them called Nufal, nicknamed Abu Hadab, who was an idolater. But he hid him from them, and they were unable to reach him. In the morning, they went to Saleh's alayhi salam's companions and forced them to lead them to him. One of Saleh's alayhi salam's companions, named Mubdi ibn Haram, asked, "Prophet of Allah, they are forcing us to lead them to you. Shall we consent?" He said, "Yes." And Mubdi showed them the way. They came to Abu Hadab and questioned him. He said, "Yes, he is with me, but you have no way to reach him." They turned away and left him, so deeply were they concerned with Allah's punishment, for they spoke among themselves about what they saw on each other's faces. When the evening came, they cried out all together, "Alas, one day of our term has passed." When they awoke on the second day, behold, their faces had turned red as though dyed with blood, and they cried out and clamored and wept, for they knew that the punishment was befalling them. When evening came, they cried out all together, "Alas, 2 days of our term had passed, and the punishment is upon us." When they awoke on the third day, their faces had turned black as though painted with pitch, and they all cried out, "Alas, the punishment is upon us." When the eve of Sunday came, Saleh alayhi salam went out from among them, and those who believed in him left with him and came to Syria and settled in Ramla in Palestine. When the remaining people awoke, they wrapped themselves in shrouds and put embalming aromatics on themselves using aloes and myrrh, and their shrouds were mats of leather. They then threw themselves on the ground, turning their glances now towards heaven and now towards the earth, not knowing whence the punishment would come. When the sun stood high on Sunday, a roar came down from heaven with the sound of the mightiest thunderbolt, and the loudest roar rose from on earth. Their hearts and their chests failed them. There was left no one, young or old, that did not perish. He said, "They lay overturned in their homes in the morning, as though they had never lived there at all. Beware, the people of Thamud turned away from their Lord. Beware, accursed are the people of Thamud." Quran, chapter 11, verse 67 to 68. Only a crippled girl from among them escaped, named Dariya bint Shaf. She was an infidel, full of enmity towards Saleh alayhi salam. Allah cured her foot after she had witnessed all the punishment, and she went forth as fast as possible until she came to Qara, which is the Wadi al-Qura, a barrier of sorts between the Hijaz and Syria, and she told them of the punishment she had witnessed and what had befallen Thamud. She asked for water, and when it was given to her and she drank, she died. Abu Zubair Jabir ibn Abdullah said that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by Al-Hijr during the raid on Tabruk, he said to his companions, "Let no one of you enter this town nor drink of its water. Do not enter among these punished ones except weeping, lest there befall you what happened to them." Then he said, "Now then, you must not ask your messenger for signs. Look at the people of Saleh, who asked their messenger for a sign, whereupon Allah sent them the she-camel. She would come to the water from this passageway and go out from that one, and she would drink their water on the appointed day." The messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also showed them the place where the young camel climbed up into the cave, but they rejected the commandment of their Lord and hamstrung her, and Allah destroyed them from beneath the face of the heaven. Whoever of them was in the easternmost or westernmost part of the earth, except for one man named Abu Raghal, who was Abu Taqif. He was in the sanctuary of Allah, and Allah's sanctuary prevented him from being punished by Allah. But when he left the sanctuary, whatever befell his people befell him as well. A golden branch was buried with him, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the people the grave of Abu Raghal. The people went down and hastened to it with their swords and dug for it and took out that golden branch. Then the Messenger of Allah veiled himself with his garment and hastened his journey until he crossed the Wadi. Scholars say that Saleh alayhi salam died in Mecca when he was 58 years old. That was because he moved from Syria to Mecca after Allah destroyed his people, and he worshipped Allah there until he died. He had lived among his people for 20 years. Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Hamdun, Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn al-Hassan, Abdullah ibn Hashim, Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, Qutayba Abu Uthman, his father al-Dahak ibn Muzahim said, "The Messenger of Allah said, 'Ali, do you know who is the greatest villain among the ancients?' He answered, 'Allah and his messenger know best.' He said, 'The one who hamstrung the camel.' He said, 'Ali, do you know who is the greatest villain of the later generation?' He replied, 'I have already said that Allah and his messenger know best.' He said, 'The one who will kill you, and Allah is all-knowing.'" Hello, Seth Big here. If you're sick of having to wade through 2 hours of fluff in order to get a few good takeaways, tune into the Art of Manliness podcast. We glean and distill the very best insights from the world's experts in self-improvement, philosophy, practical skills, history, and more, and do so in under an hour without all the eye-roll-inducing filler. You'll walk away from every episode of the Art of Manliness podcast with actionable insights you can start implementing today to improve your life. I personally enjoyed their Get More Done with the Power of Time Boxing, which I found really informative. The Art of Manliness podcast, available on your favorite podcast player. Shu'ayb alayhi salam, a session mentioning the tale of Shu'ayb alayhi salam. And unto Midan we sent their brother Shu'ayb. He said, O my people, serve Allah, ye have no other god save him. Lo, a clear proof hath come unto you from your Lord, so give full measure and full weight, and wrong not mankind in their goods, and work not confusion in the earth after the fair ordering thereof. That will be better for you if ye are believers. Lurk not on every road to threaten wayfarers and to turn away from Allah's path him who believeth in him, and to seek to make it crooked. And remember, when ye were but few, how did he multiply you? And see the nature of the consequence for the corruptors. And if there is a party of you which believeth in that wherewith I have been sent, and there is a party which believeth not, then have patience until Allah judge between us. He is the best of all who deal in judgment. The chieftains of his people who were scornful said, Surely we will drive thee out, O Shu'ayb, and those who believe with thee from our township, unless ye return to our religion. He said, Even though we hate it, we should have invented a lie against Allah if we return to your religion after Allah hath rescued us from it. It is not for us to return to it unless Allah our Lord should so will. Our Lord comprehendeth all things in knowledge. In Allah do we put our trust. Our Lord, decide with truth between us and our folk, for thou art the best of those who make decision. But the chieftains of his people who were disbelieving said, If ye follow Shu'ayb, then truly ye shall be the losers. So the earthquake seized them, and mourning found them prostrate in their dwelling place. Those who denied Shu'ayb became as though they had not dwelt there. Those who denied Shu'ayb, they were the losers. So he turned from them and said, O my people, I delivered my Lord's messages unto you and gave you good advice. Then how can I sorrow for a people that rejected truth? Quran chapter 7 verse 85 to 93. And unto Medan we sent their brother Shu'ayb. He said, O my people, serve Allah, ye have no other god save him, and give not short measure and short weight. Lo, I see you well to do, and lo, I fear for you the doom of a besetting day. O my people, give full measure and full weight in justice and wrong not people in respect of their goods, and do not evil in the earth causing corruption. And that which Allah leaveth with you is better for you if ye are believers, and I am not a keeper over you. They said, O Shu'ayb, doth thy way of prayer command thee that we should forsake that which our fathers used to worship, or that we should leave off doing what we will with our own property? Lo, thou art the mild, the guide to right behavior. He said, O my people, bethink you, if I am acting on a clear proof from my Lord, and he sustaineth me with fair sustenance from him, how can I concede aught to you? I desire not to do behind your backs that which I ask you not to do. I desire not save reform so far as I am able. My welfare is only in Allah. In him I trust, and unto him I turn repentant. And O my people, let not the schism with me cause you to sin, so that there befall you that which befell the folk of Noah, and the folk of Hud, and the folk of Saleh, and the folk of Lot are not far off from you. Ask pardon of your Lord, and then turn unto him repentant. Lo, my Lord is merciful, loving. They said, O Shu'aib, we understand not much of that thou tellest, and lo, we do behold thee weak among us. But for thy family we should have stoned thee, for thou art not strong against us. He said, O my people, is my family more to be honored by you than Allah, and ye put him behind you neglected? Lo, my Lord surroundeth what ye do. And O my people, act according to your power. Lo, I too am acting. Ye will soon know on whom there cometh a doom that will abase him, and who it is that lieth. And watch, lo, I am a watcher with you. And our commandment came to pass. We saved Shu'aib and those who believed with him by a mercy from us, and the awful cry seized those who did injustice, and mourning found them prostrate in their dwellings, as though they had not dwelt there, a far removal for Medan, even as Thamud had been removed afar. Quran chapter 11 verses 84 to 95. And the dwellers in the wood indeed were evildoers. So we took vengeance on them, and lo, they both are on a high road plain to see. Quran chapter 15 verse 78 to 79. The dwellers in the wood of Medan denied the messengers of Allah when Shu'aib said unto them, Will ye not ward off evil? Lo, I am a faithful messenger unto you. So keep your duty to Allah and obey me, and I ask of you no wage for it. My wage is the concern only of the Lord of the worlds. Give full measure, and be not of those who give less than the due, and weigh with the true balance. Wrong not mankind in their goods, and do not evil, making mischief in the earth. And keep your duty unto him who created you and the generations of the men of old. They said, Thou art but one of the bewitched, thou art but a mortal like us, and lo, we deem thee of the liars. Then make fragments of the heavens fall upon us, if thou art of the truthful. He said, My Lord is best aware of what ye do. But they denied him, so there came on them the retribution of the day of gloom. Lo, it was the retribution of an awful day. Quran chapter 26 verse 176 to 189. And unto Medan we sent Shu'aib, their brother. He said, O my people, serve Allah and look forward to the last day, and do not evil, making mischief in the earth. But they denied him, and the dreadful earthquake took them, and mourning found them prostrate in their dwelling places. Quran chapter 29 verses 36 to 37. Allah has said, We sent to Medan their brother Shu'aib. He said, O people, worship Allah and be ready for the day of resurrection. Do no evil and create no mischief in the land. Quran chapter 29 verse 36. Scholars have disagreed about Shu'aib's genealogy. the people of the Torah, said he is Shu'eb ibn Saifun ibn Aifa ibn Nabit ibn Madian, the son of Abraham. Muhammad ibn Ishaq said he is Shu'eb ibn Mikael ibn Yashjar ibn Madian, son of Abraham, and his name in Syriac is Yatrun. His mother was Mikael, daughter of Lot, and Shu'eb was blind, for those are his words informing about his folk. We see you are weak among us. Quran chapter 11, verse 91. Weak here meaning blind. He was called the greatest orator among the prophets because of the excellence of his instruction to his people, for Allah sent him as a prophet to the people of Midan. They were the dwellers in the thickets, and thickets are intertwined trees. Qatada said, Allah sent him to two nations, the people of Midan and the dwellers in the thickets. It is said that Shu'eb's folk were a people who did not believe in Allah, but wronged people and were deficient in measures and weights. Allah had been generous to them with sustenance and made life easy for them as a sign of his forbearance towards them. Then Shu'eb said to them, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other god but He, so do not give in short measure nor underway. I see you are prosperous, but I fear the doom of an overwhelming day for you. Quran chapter 11, verse 84 to 85. And similarly in Al-Araf, so give in full measure and full weight, and do not wrong people in their goods, and do not corrupt the land after it has been set aright. Quran chapter 7, verse 85. That was because they would sit on the road and inform those who were coming to Shu'eb to believe in him that he was a liar. Let him not seduce you from your religion. And they would threaten believers with murder and frighten them. Al-Suddi and Abu Raq said that they were tax gatherers. Abdullah ibn Zayd said that they were highwaymen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw on the night that he took me on the journey a piece of wood on the road. No one's garment could pass without being torn apart by it, nor anything else without being set on fire by it. So I said, What is this, Jibrail? He said, This is like some people of your nation sitting on the road and engaging in highway robbery. Then he recited, And do not sit on every road threatening wayfarers and barring from Allah's way those who believe in him, desiring to make it crooked. Quran chapter 7 verse 86. Some of the words of Shu'eb's and his people's responses to him are mentioned by Allah in the Surah of the Heights, Al-Ashraf, Surah 7, the Surah of Hud, Surah 11, and the Surah of the Prophets, Al-Shu'ara, Surah 26. The commentators have said that among the things which Shu'eb forbade them and for which they were punished was the debasing of dinars, for those are his words. They said, Shu'eb, does your piety teach you that we should forsake what our fathers worship, or desist from doing what we like with our goods? You are the mild, the guide to right behavior. Quran chapter 11, verse 87. Meaning, you are a fool, a tempter that is opposite, just as one would call an Ethiopian father of whiteness, and like his words, taste it, you were indeed the mighty and noble. Quran chapter 44, verse 49. Ibn Abbas said, Shu'eb prayed much, and when the wickedness of the people increased and goodness decreased, he invoked evil upon them, saying, Our Lord, decide fairly between us and our folk, for you are the best of those who decide. And Allah responded to his prayer and destroyed them with a tremor. Quran chapter 7, verse 91. That is the earthquake according to Al-Kalbi and according to others with the shout Sayyah. Quran chapter 11, verse 94. And the punishment of gloom, Zulla. Quran chapter 26, verse 189. According to Ibn Abbas and others, it happened in this way. Allah opened against them one of the gates of hell and sent against them a severe cold and heat, which took their breath away. They entered the innermost rooms of their houses so that neither shade nor water could help them. The heat cooked them, and so they went out fleeing into the desert, and Allah sent a cloud over them that provided them shade, and they felt relief. Then a pleasant wind came, and they called one another. When they had gathered under the cloud, Allah ignited it over them with fire. The earth shook under them, and they burned up as locusts burning in frying pans. They turned to ashes, for those are His words. Those who were wicked were seized by a punishment from heaven, and lay prostrate in their homes in the morning, as though they had not dwelt there at all. Quran, chapter 11, verse 94 to 95. And He said, there seized them the torment of the day of gloom. It was indeed the torment of a terrible day. Quran, chapter 26, verse 189. Ibn Abbas said, I have been told that when a man from the people of Medan by the name of Amr ibn Jalham saw the darkness bearing the retribution, his flesh shivered and he said, O my people, Shu'aib was sent as a messenger, so leave behind Shamir and Imran ibn Shaddad. O people, I see a cloud has already risen, swimming with a shout against the moaning in the valley, for never again will be seen there the break of day. Only Al-Rakim walking among places with no trees. Shamir and Imran were two of their priests, and Al-Rakim was their dog. Abu Abdullah Al-Bajli said, Abu Jad, Hatta, Hawaz, Kalaman, Safas, and Karasht were the names of their kings. Their king on the day of gloom during the time of Shu'aib was Kalaman. The sister of Kalaman said, bewailing him when he perished, Kalaman's death threatened my support in the middle of the encampment. The Lord of the people, death came to him as a fire in the midst of darkness, which also put fire on them, their habitations becoming as if faded away. Allah said, those who called Shu'aib a liar became as though they had not existed. Those who called Shu'aib a liar, they were the losers. Quran, chapter 7, verse 92. That is, they face destruction in this world and punishment in the hereafter. In the Great Khan's Tent is now available on Ko-fi. If you are interested in supporting this podcast, please click on the link available on our many social media platforms or email us. Why not donate to our Ko-fi to show your appreciation? Every bit helps, and we thank you for your continued support. We love that our listeners love listening to us. This episode has been written, edited, and produced by Saf Beg. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day and or night. And may the journeys on which you are set upon be fruitful. Thank you for listening.